And if you have your Bibles or New Testaments, I would encourage you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 17. And we'll be reading verses 3 and 4, and then we'll be turning over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, and taking a look at that passage of Scripture as well. So we'll start in Luke chapter 17, verse 3. Now this is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, it's in red. And that helps you to know that these are the words of Christ. This is what he says. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. In Matthew chapter 18, and we turn over there, beginning at verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Now, understands a different day today than it was then. Then you could be sold, and you would be in slavery until the debt was paid. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, not much money, especially compared to 10,000 talents. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. That fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. But he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved, came and told their master all that had been done. And his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. I'm going to preach this morning on forgiveness. It is one of the commands, one of the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ to his followers. That's us. Now, we have to recognize offenses will come. We live in a fallen world, and we are things are going to happen. Now, one of the things, of course, we try to do is not to offend people. We want to live above board. We don't want to sin against our brother or sister in the church. But what do we do if it happens? And we want to look at four questions this morning will help us to answer that. The first is, who are we talking about? We are talking about fellow Christians here. In both passages of Scripture, Jesus is talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, we recognize we live in a wicked world. We realize that things are not fair. They're not going to be fair in this world, and there are going to be things that will happen against us in our society, and we recognize that, but we have trouble in the church thinking that anybody would do anything against us. Now, in the church, nobody should intend to. But I don't know how many of you have noticed that since we found Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are still human. Has anybody noticed that? Okay, well, if you haven't noticed it, the people around you have. And that's how it works. Now, I'm thankful that the Lord gives us better insight, better understanding, and better help so that our lives change. And we're not intending to hurt people. We're not intending to offend people. But life is life. And we need to recognize that. And so what are we talking about here? What are we talking about? We're talking about the action. When somebody sins against you. Now, this is if they happen to violate the law of God against you. We're not talking about a difference of opinion. Now, we are different people, and so we are going to have differences of perspective. We have different backgrounds. We see things differently. So we make choices, and my choice may not match yours. Yours may not match mine. We may see things different. That's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about idiosyncrasies. Now, I realize none of us here have any idiosyncrasies. I won't tell you mine. You won't tell me yours. That'll be fine. But over time, sometimes those things come out, and they show up. Sometimes it has to do with our background. I'm thankful that the Lord has helped me, but I used to be a very cautious person. I grew up in the city, the suburbs, but caused me to actually have a lot of fear. And I think of that first pastorate. It was in a town of 300 people. It didn't have central air conditioning, and I couldn't sleep with the windows open on the first floor because somebody could break in. I had an idiosyncrasy, and that affected me. By the way, I have a very, very patient wife, and thank the Lord for her. The Lord's helped me. Now we have central air conditioning. Oh, what we're talking about here is if somebody sins against you. In other words, they do something that is wrong and it's offensive. But I want to remind you that holiness always thinks the best of a situation. Instead of automatically assuming that somebody is trying to be mean and hateful, we automatically assume that they somehow fouled up, but they didn't mean to do that to us. And you know, we can ask the Lord to help us with that, to have that kind of attitude, so that we have that kind of atmosphere. I want to caution us, too, about taking up offenses for other people. You know, when somebody is hurt, they usually, now Jesus said to go and talk to the person who hurt you, but oftentimes people don't. They go and talk to somebody else. Well, then somebody else thinks, well, that is wrong. That needs to be taken care of. And then they can take up an offense for the other person. Now, they may not do anything about it either, but it has changed their opinion of that other person. Well, it may be that the person who was offended and the person who did the offending got things worked out and everything's fine, but nobody told you. And we still have a wrong attitude then toward that other person. We need to be careful about that. And I caution you about taking up offenses. If you carry those things, it'll eat you to pieces and destroy you. The Bible warns us in Proverbs chapter 6 about sowing discord among brothers. Jesus teaches us to be peacemakers. So what should we do? What should our response be? First of all, we need to take heed. That's what he said. Now, this is the command. There are two other commands that go right along with it or follow right along upon it. So what does this apply to? What does this mean? Take heed. Well, take heed means to become, pay attention. Is Jesus telling us to become a more skeptical person for watching for people to mess up, assuming that they're going to have problems and they're not going to do it right and that kind of thing, and so we'll just pay more attention to that? I don't think that's what he's saying. Now, it's followed. He says, take heed to yourselves. If he repents, forgive him. And it says, if you need to go talk to him before that. So is Jesus saying that we need to become a more confrontive person with an emphasis on rebuking? He said, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. I mean, man, let him have it. Is that what he's saying? I don't believe so, but I do believe that it is the third one. If you talk to him and he repents, forgive him. An emphasis on reconciliation. I grew up in suburban Chicago. Family moved to Iowa, farm country. And I learned something. One day I was out there, asked a farmer, I said, what are you planning to grow? And he said, planning to grow corn, that field out there. It was all tilled up, worked up nice, looked great. I said, oh, you're gonna grow corn. What are you going to plant? You know what he told me? Corn. I learned something. What you plant is what grows. Isn't that amazing? Now you're all looking at me. Yeah, I know I have very limited farm experience. But if you're going to grow corn, you plant corn. But the same thing is true in the attitudes of our life. What we plant is what grows. Now, by the way, I looked at the planter. Those are amazing machines. And this was years ago. Today, they're a whole lot more sophisticated and GPS controlled and all of that. But I looked in the bin. And you know what was in the bin? Corn. I said, I don't get it. You want to grow corn? You got corn right here. Why? Just use this corn. Well, they explained to me that for every kernel of corn that you plant, it'll grow a stalk of corn. I can see you don't need this education. There'd be 2 ears of corn on it. And you'll get hundreds of kernels of corn for the one kernel of corn that you... You know, I learned something. What you plant, you get more of. I went back there the next week. It's really disappointed. Black dirt everywhere. Went to him, I said, man, you must really be sad. He said, why? I said, well, you planted corn and there's nothing out there. He said, well, it has to sprout. Then it has to grow. And then the harvest comes in the fall. And I learned something. It takes time. So Jesus said to take heed, to pay attention to ourselves, to realize this isn't something just happens overnight. We have to develop an attitude, a spirit of reconciliation, a spirit of forgiveness. Not one of harboring resentment, not one of skepticism and looking for people to fail, but one of realizing we can forgive. Now, he does say that we are to rebuke them, to go and talk to them. The word here, however, is a word that means to either ascribe honor or to ascribe blame. What we're doing here is not trying to run people down and let them know that we know better than they do how they ought to be living. No, it's more like a burn victim. And I hope that you've never been in that kind of situation, but I'm sure that you're aware of it. When somebody has been severely burned and they will take to the hospital and they will cut away the rotten flesh in order to graft in good skin for the purpose of healing. You see, the bad has to be dealt with, but that's not the goal. The goal is not to preserve the rotten flesh, and the goal is not to preserve the resentment. The goal is restoration. The section of Matthew, there's more detail to it, and Jesus said, go and talk to the person alone. If that doesn't work, take one or two with you, and if that doesn't work, take it to the church. It doesn't say take it to your neighbors and friends and those kinds of things, but follow through in that kind of a process. Then what are we supposed to do? Forgive. Now that's a command. It's an interesting word. It literally means to put in motion away from. It's in other words, to let go. It's used 142 times in the New Testament. Only 45 times does it mean to forgive. So what is forgiveness? It's the opposite of hanging on to and harboring resentment, and bitterness. It's letting it go and starving the memory of the offense and the ill feelings of the offense. So here it is. The person repents, accepts his wrongdoing, his sin, and turns from it. Hallelujah. Forgiven. Don't feed it anymore. Now, one thing I do want to add right here, and that is relative to pardon. Need to understand that forgiveness and pardon are not the same thing. Pardon is something that somebody who is an authority can do. Forgiveness is something we can do. We can forgive, but we may not have the freedom to pardon. Jesus has both the freedom and the authority to forgive and pardon. For example, let's suppose somebody broke into my house. They got through one of the ground floor windows that are closed. Anyway, they stole something, took it away. I'm the victim, and they have violated me, my stuff, the possessions of it taken, and so on. But that's not all. They have also violated the laws of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. When they end up in court, it will not be me against them. It will be the Commonwealth of Kentucky versus them. Now, I can forgive, but I don't have the power to pardon. I'm not the governor of Kentucky. And so I can still forgive, and the person may still be, have to repay or go to prison or whatever it may be. Does that make sense? You understand that? Sometimes we get confused because Jesus forgives and pardons. It is an amazing salvation. We can forgive, and we are instructed to forgive. Now, by the way, true repentance always involves restitution, making right what we have made wrong. That's our responsibility. If when I was playing baseball when I was a kid and the ball happened to be a home run, but the home run was in the neighbor's house window, then we ran home. But that's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to pay for the window and to replace it. There were some years ago when I borrowed a pair of pliers from Brother David Street. And while I was using them, they broke. Now, we all know that they broke because they were cheap pliers. I mean, it wasn't my fault. Well, yes, it was. I was the one using them. I broke them. Now, Brother Street forgave me, but I still needed to replace those pliers, which I did. We can make up excuses for things, why we don't need to take care of it, but hey, restitution is our responsibility. Let me just tell you about a temptation that I had that unfortunately I gave into. I had a pastor friend of mine, a pastor I deeply appreciated. I borrowed a book from him that he recommended. And I really enjoyed reading it. It was a good book. It was one of the best treatments of the book of Ruth that I've seen, that I'd read. I'd borrowed it from him. And he had not given me a due date. You know, like in the library, this has got to be back in two weeks, you know, like. He didn't do that, for which I was thankful, because I didn't return it. I thought, you know, he's older. He doesn't need this stuff. He knows all this stuff. I'm younger. I need it. I've borrowed it. I'll give it back to him someday. So I didn't actually steal it. It was an agreement, right? And so the fact that it sits on my library shelf doesn't mean that I've stolen it. I'm just still borrowing it. I know nobody else ever thinks like that. Just me. Well, the Lord wasn't very happy with that rationalization. This was before the days of eBay. So I tried to find it. I couldn't find it. It's out of print. I thought, well, Lord, I'll return it when I find a copy. So Lord, help me find a copy. And so, Lord, if I don't find a copy, it's your fault. I mean, I didn't say that, but we wouldn't do that to the Lord. Well, the Lord wasn't happy with that either. And so I realize I have to take responsibility for this. And I apologize. I went back to the pastor friend of mine, apologized, and returned the book. Hated to see it go, but it did. By the way, I'm still alive. Didn't ruin my life. But I will tell you the rest of the story. I moved to Kentucky. Kentucky Mountain Bible College. There was a former pastor who was retired, and she was going to be moving, and so she needed to downsize. And so she called me. She was a part of 5 Mile, and she wanted me to come over, and she said, I got a bunch of books here, and I'm just wondering if you would like to take 2 or 3 of them. I'd just like to give them to you. So I thought, well, okay. So I started through it, and there's the book. This is Ruth's Romance of Redemption, in case you can't see it, by Edward Boone. It's been out of print for a long time. And I was glad to have it legitimately become a part of my library. You know, we need to not sell the Lord short. We have a tendency to excuse things and rationalize and decide why we don't need to do something about what is our responsibility because we've decided it's not really our responsibility. Listen, that's not right. And we need to be honest with ourselves and take care of those things. But I want you to know this. The Lord has a way of rewarding right behavior and honesty and obedience. Thank His name. So when should we forgive? Now here's an interesting part. Jesus says if He does this seven times in a day, seven times in a day, seven times in 24 hours. Come on now. Sleeping for part of that. And so you got 16 awake hours or 14, you know, when you reduce the meals. So this person is doing this every other hour. We need to let them really have it, right? Jesus said, forgive him. Wow. Obviously, the person's not truly repentant if they're doing this every other hour. They're probably mocking us. They're probably trying to take advantage of us. And Jesus said, forgive. Peter asks, what about seven times in a day? Jesus said, not seven times in a day, 70 times seven. Now, the point here is not keeping track till we get to 490, then quit. It is developing a heart of forgiveness. The Lord had to help me with that. I was a teenager, 16 or 17. I was trying to help people, benefit, bless the community, that kind of thing. And there was a preacher who started warning the people in his congregation against me. I found out about it because kids from the church told me. I mean, who in the world does he think he is, anyway? I was angry, upset. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you know what you need to do? You need to go apologize. No. First of all, that guy's the preacher, and he's older than I am. You know, elder in the church, all that kind of thing. So, and I'm the teenager, and you know, it should be the other way around. And the Lord told me, go and apologize. Well, I was praying about that, thinking about that, and I thought, okay, I realize why. I haven't told why I hadn't thought about that before. But if I go and apologize, then that will open the door, and then he will apologize, and everything will be back to normal. So, I went. And I apologized. And I waited. And he didn't apologize. Not at all. In fact, he told me where I was wrong and how I was wrong. And I left there defeated and confused. And I took it to the Lord. And the Lord showed me it wasn't for him that I was apologizing. It was for me. And I was going to have to forgive him. Not because he apologized, but because it was the right thing to do. And I had to have a clean and clear heart. I've never forgotten that, as you can tell, because it was one of the lessons that I needed. I needed to forgive and clear that. I don't know in his case that he has to stand before God. That's not my issue. My issue is me. And I cannot carry grudges, bitterness, and resentment. It will destroy me. Why? Why do we need to forgive? Well, the Bible helps us to understand it is to keep good relationships in the church. Obviously, the brothers and sisters in the church are to love one another. And so it becomes a demonstration of the love of God in us. And Jesus tells a parable. Because you don't deserve to be forgiven either. So here's a guy that owns 10,000 talents. Owes that kind of money. Has no way of paying it. He can work for years, not be able to pay that off. The judgment is a just judgment. Arrested, sent to prison, he's sold, his wife sold, his children sold, they all end up in slavery, and they'll be that way until they get their debt paid. Now, by the way, that's an impossible situation because when you're sold into slavery, they don't pay slaves. He's looking at losing his freedom for the rest of his life, and not just his, but his entire family. And so he begs. And the person to which he owes all this money has compassion, forgives it. And this guy turns around and finds some guy that owes him a day's wages and says, pay up right now. The guy says, be patient with me. Hang on, we can take care of this. He said, nope, you pay right now or you go to prison. The guy says, I don't have it right now. Well, that's the way it is. To prison you go. Now, did he do anything illegal? No. That was the law. That was the judgment. That was okay. That was legal. Was it right? No, it wasn't. Jesus was sharing this parable to help us understand. There's no way that we could ever pay the debt that we created. Amen. But Jesus forgave us. Forgave us. And set us free from eternal judgment. Nobody will ever owe you what Jesus has paid your debt. And he expects those who follow him to be people who forgive and who seek to reconcile and to keep things moving forward to demonstrate the love of Christ in a hurting world today. Okay, well, we're going to conclude the service, and we can all go home and forget about this. Oh, I hope not. I think we need to ask the Lord, is there something I need to take care of? Is there somebody I need to forgive? Do I have an attitude that needs to change? A perspective that needs to change?